Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. All right, before we go any further here.
Yes.
Can you explain to me? I saw a still photo of it.
Uh-huh.
And I have not yet looked at the video, but I had some people send me a still photo of you sitting in what appears to be your study.
Yes, it is my study.
Wearing your old Broncos helmet.
Yes.
3 Super Bowl rings.
Right.
And the middle finger raised. What is this about?
I was just, I apologized to Jets today. Apparently, I went on. So, I traveled out to Arizona, this weekend on Friday. And I was at the airport and the Pat McAfee show asked me to jump on their show. So, you know, we're talking draft and we're talking this, that, and the other. And apparently, unbeknownst to me, I, offended a fan base of the Jets.
I have. What do you mean, unbeknownst to you? How do you insult an entire fan base unbeknownst?
Well, I mean, because if you tell the truth, like we do on this show, you know, some people don't necessarily appreciate that. And so, you know, this year, I mean, I know we've changed franchise, the organization, the coach, the GMs multiple times, but this time it's going to be different. And, you know, and I'm one of those guys that I'm going to be like, on paper, yes, it's different, but we'll see franchise-wise if it does change. So I was just talking about, you know, drafting quarterbacks and putting them in crappy situations, expect them to elevate the level of play of your team. It's not a good recipe. You know, there's very few unicorns out there. So anyhow, long story short, I put together a beautiful, what I thought was an eloquent apology to Jets fans. And, you know, some fans seem to take it the wrong way. I mean, there's nothing, like I said, you know, there's nothing that describes me more than gracious and humility. You know,
Subtle.
Yeah, subtle, graciousness, humility.
Understated.
Those are the things that really, really, I think I strive to, they just set me apart as an analyst. And so, I put together this unbelievable, just heartfelt apology, and some people didn't take it the right way.
As one texter says, that was the best video in the world.
Right, yeah.
I think it's the helmet for me that just does it. It's just you just deciding, you know, to just put the helmet on and do your commentary. I mean, you could have just done it with the rings.
But that was the helmet that I wore in the AFC Championship game against the Jets.
I think it's just you deciding to put a football helmet on.
Yeah.
Just start to
pontificate. I was telling stories, you know. I was just trying to help the Jets fans through some of their sorrow.
Uh-huh.
That's just the way I operate.
Uh-huh. Well, it was funny, and it definitely got a lot of views, continues to get a lot of views. And kudos to you for in one football calendar year upsetting both the Giants and Jets fan bases.
Yeah, the Lions.
I mean, when you go big, you go big.
Yeah, Lions fan base not real happy with me either.
Yeah,
they'll get over it.
They'll get over that. But, yeah. I mean, hey, right? Go for the Big Apple, man. Go for the big. Go for the city that never sleeps. Go for the big time. Go for the big kahuna.
Well, yeah, the New Yorkers are so easy because they're easily the most triggered fan. New Yorkers, like Jets fans, not nearly as bad as Giants fans, but they're the easiest to trigger. Like they are just. New York fans are just easy. Anyhow, I mean,
it's now, wait a minute, what? Millennial Ben, when it's actually got movement in it, it's a GIF, right? All right. It's now a GIF. Look at this.
Yeah. See, I'm showing them the ring that I won after we beat him in the AFC Championship there.
That was not
intentional. It was just, it became strategic ring placement.
Get ready
I guess.
For this thing to get used a lot.
Yeah.
In a lot of different,
contextual situations. Another one. That video was hysterical. Oh, yeah. It was a thing of beauty.
Yeah. Well, you know, what are you going to do?
What was not a thing of beauty was the fourth quarter for the Nuggets last night.
Oh, my gosh.
Yesterday
you scored 8 points.
Well, yeah, okay. It got away from them. It got completely away from them. But I found the reaction to it kind of amusing, but maybe in another sense, it's a really good thing. So this one text came in. I'm seriously ticked at this blank effort by the Nuggets. I work hospital security, so when I deal with crappy people, then look up and see the final score, it is disheartening to see the sheer pathetic play from my professional basketball team.
Let me just say this. They have been on this absolutely incredible run, and I am not trying to make excuses for the Nuggets. I really am not. And they had it going on for three quarters. Yes, lack of attention to detail. Yeah, lack of urgency, lack of whatever. But it is hard. It is hard when you're playing better than anybody else. Like, you always are getting everybody's, you know, best shot. And it is hard mentally to stay in that kind of intense zone quarter after quarter after quarter after quarter. What were they? I mean, how many did they win of?
So I just did the math. They had won 8 in a row, and prior to that loss, they had won 17 of 20.
Yeah, I mean, so
cut them a little slack,
right?
Huh?
So you had one bad quarter, one mental lapse. You had a couple of, you know, there was a lid on top of the basket. It's going to happen occasionally, Mike. And I didn't, you know, I went back. Obviously, I didn't watch the game. I was watching the Masters, but I went back and watched all the highlights of the fourth quarter. And, you know, I just looked at it like, hey, man, these things are going to happen occasionally. And what a run they've been on. And sometimes it's great for a cleanser. Sometimes it's a great way so that you can start coaching your team again, cleanse the palate and say, all right, let's put it back together. So I am not, it doesn't concern me in the least that quarter.
Yeah. Some interesting post game commentary from Michael Malone regarding why Nikola Jokic didn't play as much in the fourth quarter. And I'm curious to get your reaction and Nugget fan reaction to it, because some will be like, further reason why they don't like Malone. Others will look at it and say that this is exactly why he's the right coach
right.
for this team. So we'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on, probably around the morning brew, coming up at 6:30. But up next, what are Broncos country's true feelings about Drew Lock? I got a good cross-section of opinion this weekend, and I want to bounce that off you. Do that coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Why was Nikola Jokic pulled out of a game that the Nuggets were still in? You'll hear Michael Malone's answer coming up in the morning brew here. Also, what did the Avalanche get in trading for an arch enemy? Wow. This one was a kind of a stunner when it came across, but I think it was a great move.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about all that coming up here in just a bit, and why Hideki Matsuyama winning the Masters was why it was the best story of the weekend. It goes way beyond golf. So we'll talk about all that as we move along here. James Merrillat will join us at 6:45. So I was at my son had a baseball tournament this weekend out in Aurora.
Uh-huh.
Aurora Sports Park, and it was jammed, lots of baseball and softball going on. It was great to see. But, you know, whether it's talking to parents on our own team or, you know, occasionally I get recognized and, you know, people are like, hey, what do you think about this? And the topic that people keep wanting to talk about is the quarterback.
Right.
Just the way it is. I mean, it always is the number one subject in Denver, Colorado, which it is. And what I was surprised to find out was, and tell me if you are surprised, you know, we tend to live in a Twitter world, a social media world.
Yeah.
Twitter hates Drew Lock.
Oh, of course.
Twitter hates Drew Lock.
Sure.
There's no doubt about it. Twitter hates Drew Lock, wants, you know, ABL or ABD, anybody but Drew.
Right.
But, you know, talking to the peeps out there, there's a lot of support for Lock. The idea that, hey, you know, I'm not giving up on this guy. I found it interesting that, you know, social media presents one message and then maybe you get out and you start talking to some people and who aren't as involved in it and they have sometimes different view.
Right. They don't have an agenda. You know, I mean, sometimes it's about social media is just not real. That's all. It's the not so silent minority of people that, you know, are going to stand on the soapbox and pound their foot. And you know, I get it. He hasn't been good enough. I understand that. I also get that the same people say he's not good enough for the people who are saying, hey, man, just support the kid. Look what he's doing under Wrinkle's offense. And so, you know, I think you have to take the good with the bad. I think you have to parse it out and look at not make excuses. Mike, he's got to be better. But also understand the whys. Like, that's really, like, if you're just saying, well, he's just not good enough. Well, why is he not good enough? Is he not good enough because he's not talented? That's not correct. He's exceptionally talented. Well, is he not good enough because he doesn't understand? Well, that might be part of it, but think about, you know, 6 coordinators in 6 years. I mean, like, if every time, you know, use a movie reference. If every time your TPS report has to change, like every time you come in and something that you do in the office, you have let's say every year you learn QuickBooks. You have to learn QuickBooks and you do all the accounting for your company or you do all the, you know, minutia of the number keeping and everything. And every year, and it takes you, you know, 3-4 months to learn it. But it really takes you 6-7 months to be proficient at it. And then every year they said, we changed our system again. And every year you've got to relearn a new system, relearn all the minutiae and the little things and the tricks. And the only way you learn those is by making mistakes and going, oh, that's not the way this system works. Let me refile it a different way. And every year you have to do it. You're never going to be efficient at your job. It makes it really hard. And so it's not an excuse. It's just a reason why it's hard. And so, you know, I mean, I understand that he's got to be a lot better. He understands he's got to be a lot better. I understand the organization has to be a lot better.
Now, even though I did hear some support for Locke this weekend, I don't kid yourself. If you were able to poll every single self-admitted Bronco fan out there.
Right.
I bet it's running 60-40 against Drew.
Well, I would 60-40 also
60-40 bring somebody else in, anybody but Drew.
Right. But I think that's the other thing, Mike, why you probably heard more support than you normally would, because, you know, Broncos country's pretty educated on kind of what's out there. I mean, there's nobody.
He's telling the people on social media are not educated.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, what's out there doesn't do a whole lot for you. You know, in regards to, like, people don't want to, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, like Minshew, although I like Minshew. By the way, how much more do you like him with those photos that were released?
Wow.
Shirtless, belt buckle, just glorious mullet.
That mullet.
It's glorious, right?
Mixed in with the shirt buttons undone.
A lot of, he got a little Austin Power chest hair going on.
Yeah, it was like Austin Powers meets Dukes of Hazzard. I mean, it was just,
dude, it was just a good old boy. Never made it no home. Yeah.
Yeah, expecting him to, like, you know, hop in, you know, taking pictures next to the General Lee or something, you know?
Oh, dude, no, he would have gotten in a truck.
That's like an old 70s Ford 150, you know? Skinny tires. It's got a...
That thing got a Hemi?
They got three.
Of course it does.
Three on the tree.
Three on the tree.
You know?
That's right.
That's what he gets.
It was funny. I do give social media, I give the Twitter sphere credit for this one. When those pictures started to circulate, people were like, okay, I've changed my mind. I'm all in on Minshew.
Bring him here.
Yeah. Bring him here.
Dude, Minshew, I'm telling you, Minshew can play.
Minshew can play.
That one would excite me a little bit.
John sends in this text. Evans, what exactly is the defining feature that causes people to recognize you? Is it the wispy hair or the solar eclipse your head creates when you stand near them? Just wanting to know so I can keep an eye out for you.
It's a good question. What do most people, I'm going to tell you what most people
say to you. I'm wearing a hat. I was wearing a hat.
What's a big hat?
Big hat. That's a big hat. That's even Bruce Bochy sits back and goes, that's a big hat.
Yeah. So here's what I would say. Most people walk up to you and say, you're not nearly as fat as I thought you were.
That's it. Exactly right.
Right.
I get that so much. You're not nearly as fat as they make you out on the radio. Now, gee, thanks.
They've got this vision of you just being this roly-poly.
Yeah, just this like.
Yeah. Fatty McGee. They get this vision
of
you.
In between talking sports, I'm just like.
Yeah, and then they see you and they're
give me another crawler.
Right. They see you and they're like, oh my gosh, he's actually
rather fit looking.
Yeah, he's actually, you know.
Normal looking dude.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but does have a ginormous head.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. Coming up, Morning Brew, I like this one. Michael Malone keeps forgetting the game is four quarters.
Blaming
the fourth quarter on Michael Malone, huh? All right, Morning Brew, coming up next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. That's some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on!
All around good team win, good commitment to defend, and looks like we had our legs and we were more relentless on the puck tonight.
There's Jared Bednar talking about the Avalanche taking care of Anaheim. Last night, 2-0. The big story over the weekend was the Avalanche, as we predicted on Friday. I said I would be shocked, stunned, if Joe Sakic did not go out and address the backup goalie position. And did he, and boy did he, much to the consternation of some Avalanche fans, as they went on and traded for Devin Dubnyk with San Jose this year, but longtime Minnesota goaltender and really kind of right in the middle of, you know, what has been, you know, not a white hot rivalry, but a solid rivalry over the years, and a guy that has definitely gotten under the skin of a lot of Avalanche fans. So it was kind of, it was kind of stunning for a lot of Avalanche fans to say, whoa. We traded for who? Him? Right. I know we needed a backup goaltender, but him? Ah, you'll come to love him.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of the getting, you know, Bill Romanowski. Everybody hates him when you play against him, but when he's on your team, you're like, oh yeah, this guy's great, you know? I mean, beyond the shadow of the, or beyond the echo of the whistle and, you know, a few little things here and there that, you know, you put up with. It's great. They needed a backup goaltender, a legit backup goaltender. They went out and then made that happen. That's a good thing for the Avs.
Move they had to make. NHL trade deadline day is today. We'll keep an eye on if they make any more moves between now and the deadline. Next on the Morning Brew.
And regarding Nikola, you know, he gets frustrated with the referees and what he perceives to be a lack of calls. And you understand that, but, you know, that can never take you away from your duty as a basketball player. So that's something that he, myself, and all of us can definitely be better at. But the most of the decision was just getting him out. We're still down by 12 points at that time. Let's try something different. AG at the five. See if we can get an athletic big on the rim. Four smalls. obviously, it didn't help. Nothing helped in that fourth quarter.
All right, Michael Malone talking about really maybe taking a little hardline approach there with his superstar, Nikola Jokic, who he felt was getting distracted by the lack of non-calls. Here's the stretch of play from Nikola Jokic when he entered the game in the fourth quarter with about 8.5 minutes left in the game. It was 82-80 at that point. The Nuggets were down two. Here's what Jokic did during that stretch. He went personal foul. Personal foul, missed shot, loose ball foul, bad pass, turnover, blocked shot, had one of his shots blocked, missed a 6-foot bunny, and then got taken out of the game with 4.5 left. So over that 4-minute stretch, that's what he did. The Nuggets went from being down 2 to down 14. All right. So this notion that, Michael Malone, coached to lose in the fourth quarter. Right. He took his best player out with them only down 14 in a game. Well, Nikola Jokic was largely responsible for the lead ballooning the way it did. And look, hey, he and the Nuggets, who have been playing exceptional basketball for a long time, had a bad quarter, had a bad run. It happens.
And I actually like this with Michael Malone. Addressing, you just have to come to the realization, and again, this is kind of, this is kind of chip on your shoulder, flyover city, not getting the attention, all that kind of stuff that is the Denver Nuggets. You cannot let that change the way you approach the game. You have to just understand that we're not going to get those calls, that Jokic isn't going to get the favorable whistle, that he's not going to get the LeBron treatment. The Giannis treatment. It's just not going to happen. Sorry. You can be upset about it, Nugget fan, but it's just the way it goes. So I think that's good by Michael Malone. Say, don't expect it because we're not getting it. We're going to have to earn these things, right? And I think that's good. Don't get frustrated with it. Just understand.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Well, it's a high drive to right. Down the line. Out of here.
Giants Radio. Well, the Rockies got swept. Went to San Francisco after winning 2 out of 3 against the Diamondbacks. And they lost 3-1, 4-3, and 4-0. I can't help but notice the irony, I guess, is the best way to put it. In a weekend in which so many people, and we'll talk to one of them, James Marilla will be coming up, who are trying to paint Nolan Arenado as the villain in this showdown between Rockies, Dick Monfort, and Jeff Breidich, and Nolan Arenado, and people are trying to somehow drum up some support, some sympathy for Dick Monfort and Jeff Breidich. I find it interesting that on the weekend that that's all being debated, they go on and get swept.
Isn't Nolan the guy that used to go to San Francisco and just put on a show every time he's out there? I do recall that every time Nolan went out, he was like... on a weekend series, he was 12 for 18 with 3 homers. And, he always had one of them weekend series in San Fran. So he always played great in San Fran. Could have used that as we were getting swept.
I'm not saying that Nolan Arenado was blameless in that. But let us not lose sight of what the real problem is here. And that is a front office that is incompetent. An ownership that seems to send out mixed messages all the time about just where their commitment level is to winning. Don't get dragged down in the weeds and start, thinking about, Nolan did this and Nolan did that, and forget about what really ails this franchise right now.
Completely concur. I mean, it is what it is. 3-game sweep. In San Fran. San Fran has improved over last year, but they're not great.
Next on the Morning Brew.
He's probably 11 out of 10 from this distance.
That's an unofficial number. We'll see. Matsuyama nails it. Well, there's one for one. We'll just go with that for today.
SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. Nothing more scintillating.
Yeah, nothing is more captivating golf play-by-play on the radio.
Yes. Yes.
Congratulations to Hideki Matsuyama, who wins the Masters. And watching the broadcast yesterday, it's what made this story the biggest, the best sports story of the weekend for me, is that not only did this guy win the Masters, but understanding how he is viewed in Japan and the pressure that this guy carried on his shoulders to go out and win, and now that he has, literally an entire nation was up early this morning,
yes,
watching it, and this guy becomes a national hero for doing what he did. I mean, it's, in some respects, it kind of bums me out because our country is so huge and is so regionalized that we could never have a story like this, could we? Where one person goes out and does something that literally the entire nation is hanging on it?
Right. Probably not.
I guess maybe some Olympic, you know, moments, but not like this.
This is incredible. And I tell you, it just reminds me of back in the day when Ichiro was, you know, in Major League Baseball. And I remember being at a game over the 4th of July weekend in Detroit. My son was pitching for the Tigers and they were playing Seattle. And the amount of Japanese media,
mm-hmm,
like, there was like 40 or 50 people that traveled from, all they did was travel with the Mariners.
Yeah.
And then you're down in the tunnel afterwards, you know, where the players come out, and Ichiro comes out, and it is like, it's a mob scene.
There's 50 guys. There's 50
everywhere.
People.
It was just amazing how famous that dude was. And, Hideki's going to have that kind of, star treatment for the rest of his life in Japan. It's awesome. Good for him.
But there was that expectation.
Sure.
For him to, cause, you know, this is not a guy that just burst out of nowhere. This guy has been in the running to win.
Yeah, he was the low score and the amateur low score
about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So really, for the last decade, this guy has gone about his business with the expectation from his country,
mm-hmm,
that you are our best hope to go win a golf major.
Yeah.
And boy, that's pressure. That's pressure. And you have to figure after he, you know, hit it over the green on 15 that, yeah, you know, what was he starting to feel? What was he, you know, but then the X-Man bailed him out. All right. I just got confused with all the Avalanche wins over Anaheim lately. I mean, as they've been feasting on poor Anaheim, it was 4-1 yesterday, 2-0 in the first game against Anaheim. All right, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. James Merrillat, sticking up for Dick Monfort and Jeff Breidich. Say it ain't so, James. He joins us next.
All right, say good morning to our buddy James Merrillat, king of his domain at denverfan.com. He joins us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. And James, are you
one that blames Michael Malone for what happened in the fourth quarter yesterday and that loss to the Celtics, outscored 31-8?
Well, no, and you know, I'm you know, been critical of Michael Malone in the past, but man, that's just one of those things that is so strange and so weird and such an outlier that I think you just have to chalk it up to an aberration, put it in the rearview mirror, and move on. I mean, you know, could he have had a better rotation? Could he have used timeouts differently? Yeah, there are things that a head coach can do to stop the bleeding. But that was just strange and bizarre where you're like cruising, you're up double digits, and then the next time you look up, you're down double digits. It was almost hard to believe what you were seeing. So I'm not going to pin that one on Michael Malone. It was just one of those days. And I think, especially after winning 8 in a row, you just turn the page and move on.
Speaking of Michael Malone, how did you feel about his kind of assessment of Jokic and essentially saying, and I'll paraphrase here, you know, you gotta quit worrying about not getting the calls and you've got to execute, you know, on the court. Like, which I personally like.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to get you got to understand where you play and the way the league calls fouls. You know, you're not getting the LeBron treatment. So I liked it. What did you think?
No, I'm right there with you. I liked what he did, what, 4 or 5 nights ago when he got kicked out of the game. It was clearly premeditated, right? Like he was going into that game. It was the same crew they had the night before against the Magic. And Michael Malone was going to make a point and back up one of his guys. That's for the coach to do. It's not for the player to do. It's one of the things I think that Jokic has been better at this year of not getting caught up in that, not whining, not going into those, you know, modes where you look up and like, man, how's he only taking one shot in the whole first half? And it's like almost he goes into pouting mode. He's done a better job at avoiding that this year, obviously, but I think the head coach is right. Like he can't fall into that trap. It's frustrating. You know, when you look at the numbers and see, you know, Joel Embiid getting, you know, 19 free throws a game and Jokic getting 6 or whatever the crazy numbers are, it is frustrating. It's pretty obvious that he's not getting a fair whistle, but that whistle comes. LeBron has that respect and gets those calls because he's gone out there and done it game after game, year after year, and won on the biggest stage. It's hard to break through when you're not getting those calls, but unfortunately in the NBA, that's how it works. You don't start getting them until you do break through. So the Nuggets have to go out and they have to continue playing well. They have to get a high seed and they have to make some noise again in the postseason. That's when he's going to start getting the calls. If you watch him now compared to 2 years ago, it's a vastly different whistle than it was then. So it'll continue to head in that direction. If the Nuggets continue to improve and Jokic's, you know, kind of stock around the league continues to improve, it just doesn't happen overnight. That's how this league works. It was this way back in the 80s, right? When the Bulls had to finally break through with the Pistons and get over that hump. Like that's just kind of how it works in the NBA and always has been. So it's frustrating to watch. I'm sure it's frustrating for Jokic, but Michael Malone is right. Go out and just play the game.
James. So I'm following you on Twitter this weekend, and I'm getting more and more annoyed. And rather than just responding to you on Twitter, I knew I'd be speaking to you today, so I left it for today. You, what are you doing? What are you doing by going out and defending Dick Montfort and Jeff Breidich in this tête-à-tête with Nolan Arenado? I get that Nolan Arenado is not blameless in this, but any defense of Montfort and Breidich, you're only ignoring what the real problem is with this franchise. And I found it the delicious irony that on a weekend in which people are taking sides, Nolan Arenado or Rockies management, that the Rockies go out and get swept.
Yeah.
Thus just shining a light on what truly is the problem with this franchise.
Yeah, and they went out and they couldn't hit the ball in San Francisco once again. Something they did for, 8 years with Nolan in the lineup, too. Look, I'm not saying that Dick Montfort and Jeff Breidich are blameless by any means, particularly Jeff Breidich. He deserves a ton of the blame. And when this thing started going bad, he handled it poorly, right? Like, he could have not been, you know, the arrogant Harvard grad and gone to his star player and tried to mend fences, and he didn't. And he deserves a ton of blame for that. I actually think Dick Montfort is pretty close to blameless in this. Like, he's a guy that I do think he wants to win. I don't think he always knows how to win. I think he's overly loyal to his GM, but he does spend money, right? So in 2019, they had the 11th highest payroll in baseball. That's respectable for what the Rockies generate in terms of overall revenue. I think that's about as good as we can ask. Now, they didn't spend that money wisely, but they did spend the money, so we can't accuse him of being cheap. And he opened up the checkbook, signed Nolan Arenado to a big contract, tried to keep the best player in the history of the franchise here. And within 11 months, Nolan was publicly asking for a trade, which is just preposterous. Like, nothing dramatically changed with the franchise in that amount of time, right? Like, they had a bad season in 2019, but the first half, they were really pretty good. It just all fell apart in the final 3 months. And he knew how this organization operated. He knows this isn't Boston or New York or LA, where if you make mistakes in free agency, you can just buy your way out of them. So they had to sit for one more season and see, all right, was 2019 an aberration? Those 3 months, was that an aberration? Or is this team really what we were in 17 and 18 when we went to the playoffs? And that they had to play it out. They had to play out the contracts of those three pitchers that were the highest priced bullpen in the history of the game. Like, gee, sorry, Nolan. We went out and put together the highest priced bullpen in the history of the game. It didn't work out, but you can't accuse us of being cheap. And Nolan just took his ball and went home. That was odd. But now we find out through Adam Wainwright that Nolan was essentially the guy that on his honeymoon was texting other chicks If you're doing that, you deserve some of the blame for the divorce. It doesn't mean the other side is blameless, but it means you deserve some of the blame. And when this all went down, people were upset about the trade, and I get it. It wasn't a great trade. It was a terrible trade. But Nolan Arenado deserves some of the blame, and it looks now like he never had any intention of staying in Colorado. He used them to get a big contract, and he wanted out of here while he was signing the deal. That's pretty spineless. That's pretty ugly, and I think he deserves a ton of criticism for that.
I think that when you talk about the Monforts and Dick Monfort and the organization, if you want to place blame where they're not blameless, or where they are not blameless, where they deserve some of the blame, is their unwillingness to part ways. If your general manager is not doing the job, he is hiring and paying a bullpen that doesn't produce,
yep,
and he's alienating the best player in franchise history, then at some point, as an owner, you have got to let go of some of that loyalty and say, you're not getting the job done, we need to move on. And I think that's where the blame, or the finger of blame, should be pointing.
100% agree. And that's why I'm protesting the Rockies this year, and I won't spend a dollar with them, and I won't spend much time paying attention to them on TV even, because I 100% agree with you. And very few other people could put together that, most expensive bullpen in baseball history and see it be that bad, and keep their job. Most people couldn't sign Daniel Murphy instead of DJ LeMahieu and keep their job. And certainly most people couldn't alienate the best player in franchise history and keep their job. So I'm with you, and that is Dick Monfort's biggest fault, right? Like, I mean, basically they've had the same regime for what, 25 years? I mean, Dan O'Dowd, and then they hired Dan O'Dowd's right-hand man. They didn't even go out and interview anybody else. They didn't go look at anybody else. And I think part of it is, I don't know that Dick Monfort even knows who to talk to and who else would be candidates and who else would be an interesting option and maybe the Theo Epsteins of the world, right? The new thinkers. I don't even think he knows. That's on him. That's his job as the guy who owns the team to figure out, hey, who are the best people out there? And I think he's a little bit in the dark. I don't want to say scared, but it almost feels like it, like scared to make a change. Mark, I think you're 100% right, and I think he deserves criticism for that. But if your biggest fault is you're overly loyal, doesn't mean it's not a fault, but that's not one that I'm going to throw too many stones at.
All right, you can check out James and everything he has going on at DenverFan.com throughout the week. All kinds of great contributors weighing in. We'll talk to you again later in the week. Thank you, James.
All right, fellas, take care.
James Merrillat on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline. Coming up, yet maybe another reason why the Broncos should not gamble on a top-notch, highly rated, can't-miss young quarterback stud. That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.